brother.
The transition for my family and me began about March. And that's when your search committee contacted me, and that was followed up with phone calls and Skype interviews and emails and more phone calls and more emails and more praying together and discerning together and then more Skype and just kind of going and going and going. Ultimately, you voted. All right, I was happy. The transition, though, for my family really turned into a whirlwind about 2 months ago. About the time that you voted was about the time that my wife and I were saying goodbye to our oldest daughter. We sent her off to her junior year of college. She's a junior at North Park, but will be studying this entire year at a Jesuit university in Guadalajara, Mexico. And so we sent our daughter off by herself to Mexico for an entire year. A month later, we sent our baby off to college. Still killing me. We sent Madison off to Eastern Washington University, where she's a freshman. A month later, about 2-3 weeks ago, said goodbye to my mom. She finally lost her battle with pancreatic cancer and went home to be with the Lord about 2-3 weeks ago. I was able to fly down to Carson City with my brother. We were able to spend time with my mom and pray her off well. The very next day, I'm flying back to Gig Harbor to say goodbye to my church that I had been at for over 16 years. All that was in the same week. And then on Wednesday, as you were at the gathering in or watching the Giants win the World Series, I was in the midst of a 13-hour cannonball drive from Gig Harbor, Washington to here. So 13 hours straight, just loaded my car full of boxes and duffel bags and some clothes hanging in the back and just drove by myself because my wife is still back in Gig Harbor. We're still waiting for the house to sell. My common response to people when they come up to me and they say, has your house sold? I say, no, you want to buy a house? And it only takes one. It only takes one. We just haven't found the one yet. She's hoping to fly down in a couple of weeks. She so, so wanted to be part of this morning. I so want her to be part of this. And she is going to be more of a blessing to this place than I am, I'm quite sure of. And so we're just looking forward to getting her down here. So that's been what my last 2 months has looked like. It's just been this emotional roller coaster. Yet in the midst of all of the transition, there have been a couple of things that have kept me somewhat sane. One is I have been overwhelmed time and time again by the faithfulness of God. And God has proven himself to be faithful over and over and over again. And that has been enough for me. But in addition to God's faithfulness, keeping me somewhat sane, has been the faithfulness of God's people. I know many of you have been praying for me, been praying for my family, and I just want to say thank you. Your prayers have been effective. They have been felt by my family, my extended family. And so thank you. Your prayers have kept me going during this emotional roller coaster. But there's one more thing that's been keeping me moving forward well is this day. I have been looking forward to November 2nd for 2 months. And in the midst of whatever was going on in life, I could always say, November 2nd's happening. Regardless of anything else going on, November 2nd is happening. And that was good news to me. And I've been looking forward to this day. I might be having a lousy day. I go, nope, but November 2nd's coming. It's coming, it's coming. And I'm going to be able to stand right here with you. And then it dawned on me. I said, wait a second. What are you going to say? You're looking forward to this day, but what do you say on your first Sunday at your new church? One thing I have to tell you, I am horrible with names. So whosever idea it was, start passing out name tags. God's blessing on you and your family. I'm terrible with names. Random sports facts, got them. Movie quotations, done. Names? Not. Not at all. I recognize that it's going to be easier for you to learn my name than for me to learn all of your names. So I ask your patience and your grace, and please wear a name tag. When I come to your home, if you have a name tag, that would be helpful. I'm terrible with names, so I ask your patience with me. I was trying to think what else I should tell you this morning. This afternoon, I'm going to be going back to the house I'm staying at. Some good friends are putting up with me and putting me up. And this afternoon, I'll be able to sit down and do one of my favorite things. I'm going to be able to sit down and eat good food and watch a football game. I'm a sports fanatic, and I am so looking forward to watching the Seahawks play this afternoon. It makes it even better because they are diehard Raider fans. And it got me thinking that if you're a 49ers fan or a Raiders fan, you have something in common with the 49ers and the Raiders, is you got to sit at home and watch the Super Bowl too. That's just, I'm unashamedly a Seahawk fan. I was even growing up in the East Bay because we all figured that Al Davis was the Antichrist. So it was easy for us to be Seahawk fans way back when. It is what it is. I do enjoy watching sports. I do. I enjoy watching movies. I enjoy going out to eat. I also noticed that I have a strange addiction to nature shows. I mentioned this last time I was here, but I have a strange addiction to nature shows. I never intentionally turn on a nature show. I don't check my local listings to find out when the nature show is going to be on so I can watch it or DVR it. Watching nature shows for me is almost always the result of channel surfing. I'll be watching something, I'll be watching a game, watching a movie, and a commercial will come on. I can't stand commercials. Grab the remote control and just go. A zebra. And I'll be stuck there. I'll be stuck there until I find out what happens to the zebra or learn something new about a zebra. My daughters laugh at me because I'll be watching TV in the other room and they will hear that suddenly everything is silent and one of them will yell, "You got stuck on a nature show, didn't you?" A handful of years ago, I was watching TV. I forget what I was watching and commercial came, grabbed the remote. A duck. Not the Aflac duck, just a duck. There was a duck. And this duck, it was a female duck, and you could tell by the colors. This duck flew up into a tree. Not like into a tree, although that would have been funny. But there was a hole in a tree about 25 feet off the forest floor. And this duck flew up into the tree and got into this hole in the tree and laid eggs and then sat on the eggs, because that's what ducks do when they lay eggs. It was just, and I was just sitting there watching this duck sit. And then because, you know, they do that time-lapse photography thing, the eggs started to move. And then one by one, out of these eggs came these little baby ducks. Now, you need to understand, I'm a man. You know, barbecue, football, good. You know, the ducks were abundantly cute. They were. These little baby ducks. You know, all these little baby ducks. And I'm just sitting there watching. And then the mama duck, after a little bit, goes to the edge of the hole and jumps and just goes, whew. It didn't make that sound, but it's just kind of helping. Just, and lands on the forest floor and kind of waddles a little bit, turns around and just goes, quackity quack. I don't do duck impersonations, so that's the best I'm going to do this morning. It just turned around and said, quackity quack, which I came to learn means jump. Because one of the little baby ducks comes up to the edge of the hole, 25 feet from the forest floor, looks down, mama duck, second time goes, quackity quack, and the little baby duck jumps. Have you ever seen a baby duck fly? No, you have not, because they can't. This little guy jumps and goes, and just hits the ground and bounces like a tennis ball and gets back up and starts walking after mom. And then the mom goes, quackity quack, and a second one comes to the edge, having already watched baby brother bounce and jump, just goes, and it hits the ground, gets upside down, kind of gets back, and one by one, every one of the baby ducks jumped out, did that, hit, and then they followed their mom, and they walked through the forest to a pond. And I'm sitting there in my chair going, and then it hits me. I'm a baby duck. And you're a baby duck. And I'm sure this is not what you were expecting for the sermon this morning. But you're a baby duck, and so am I. And Jesus ultimately is the mama duck, because Jesus stands at the bottom of your tree and mine and says, quackity quack. Jesus stands at the bottom of our trees and says, jump. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee at the very beginning of his public ministry. He comes across two sets of brothers who were fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John. He looks at them and says, drop your nets, come follow me. It's interesting to notice what he did not say. In that moment, Jesus did not say, drop your nets, let's sit down for a while, have a learned discussion about my divinity. Let's talk about what the Old Testament prophecies were about the Messiah, and I will tell you how I will live into those prophecies. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say along the Sea of Galilee, drop your nets, come, believe in me. Now, don't get me wrong. Is it important for us to come to a place in our lives where we have discussions about the divinity of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Is it important to come to a place where we believe that he is the Messiah, the Savior? Absolutely. But that's not what Jesus said at that moment. What Jesus said at that moment was, quackity quack. Jump. Come. Follow me. I love how it says in the book of John, one of those guys following Jesus from the beginning says, excuse me, Jesus, where are we going? To which Jesus responds, you can almost hear him smile as he turns around and goes, come on, I'll show you. We love our GPS. We love our Google Maps. We want an itinerary for everything that's going to happen. Problem is, Jesus rarely operates like that. Jesus says, jump. Come on, I'll show you where we're going as we walk. Jesus stands at the bottom of your tree. My tree says, quackity quack. Jump. In the 10th chapter of John, in the 10th verse, he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I come to give you life, give it to you abundantly, which made me start thinking of those baby ducks again. What would have happened? What would have happened if those little baby ducks decided jumping was a really, really bad idea? Especially the second one. It's like, did you see Jimmy? He bounced. That looked painful. And I don't ever remember mom telling us exactly where we were going after we jump. I'm staying right here. I started thinking, what's going to happen to those little baby ducks if they decide to stay in the tree? I'll tell you what will happen. They will be safe, they will be comfortable, and if the mama duck keeps coming back to the tree, they will be well fed. And ultimately, they would never learn how to fly, they would never learn how to swim, they'd never experience life in the pond, and they would die in their comfort, safety, and well-fedness. Unfortunately, what I've just described is the majority of churches in North America. And this isn't just an opinion or a judgment that I'm making. It's a statistical reality. that the majority of Christian churches in North America today are declining, in part because the church has mistakenly concluded that their purpose is to be safe and comfortable and be well fed. And what we have is a lot of churches that are slowly dying in their comfort. Jesus says, quackity quack, jump, let me take you to the pond. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The thief wants nothing more than the church of Jesus Christ to stay safely in their tree. Jesus, on the other hand, goes, I'm making you no promises about safety. Have you ever had somebody, probably with the best intentions, come up to you and say, the safest place to be is at the center of God's will? Usually very well-intentioned statement. I always want to go, have you read the Bible? I'm pretty sure Jesus was in the center of God's will. And they tortured him and publicly executed him. 11 of the 12 disciples died violent deaths. The 12th one lived out his years in exile and difficulty. Don't tell me the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. If you want to tell me that the abundant life that Jesus created us to live in is in the center of his will, I'll buy that. Jesus says, jump. I'll show you where we're going as we go, because I want to take you to the pond. I want to take you to the place where you learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you to experience what it looks like to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to hear my new commandment and live into it. And that only happens as we move. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And people will know that you are my disciples. People will know that you are actively following me when you love one another. The church of Jesus Christ is not to be filled with tourists, but pilgrims. You know tourists. They leave their home, go experience something for a while, then they go exactly back to where they were. Pilgrims jump out of trees. Pilgrims leave where they were to go where God is calling them to go, never to return to where they were. Pilgrims are the ones that hear the quackity quack and jump, recognizing it's going to be painful, recognizing it's going to be difficult, recognizing it's going to be dangerous, but trusting that it's ultimately good and abundant. I can make a couple of promises for what the next year will look like. 1 year from now, this church will look different than it does right now. This is not an indictment or a judgment on where the church has been or where the church currently is. It's just a statement of fact that when you follow Jesus, there's movement involved, meaning you go to new places. For those of you who have been a part of Community Cub for a number of years, look around. Is this church like it was 25 years ago? 10 years ago? 1 year ago? God is in the process of calling his people to jump out of trees and go to a pond. 1 year from now, we will look different. I can also promise you that in the process of moving together, our church, and I love the fact that I finally get to say our church will make mistakes. We'll make some wrong turns. I promise you that. One of my all-time favorite movies is City Slickers. Great movie. And there's a group of cowboys that are trying to get a herd to this ranch. They don't know exactly how to get there. They just know they're supposed to get there. Oh, kind of like us. But as they're going to this place they know they're supposed to go, one of them looks to the other and says, we're lost, but we're making good time. I guarantee over the course of this next year, there will be some moments where we go, we made a wrong turn and we're a little bit lost, but hey, we're moving. I promise you that. But I also promise that in the midst of our journeying together, we will begin to experience the fullness of God in ways that will be new for all of us. I suppose the question for us this morning is simply this. Will you jump? You need to know this about me. I'm a jumper. I'm not so concerned about being successful. I'd much rather be faithful. And if God stands at the bottom of my tree and he says, quackity quack, I jump. How about you? Will you jump? It's the question we should be asking ourselves, not just on the first Sunday of a new pastor being in town. It should be a question we should be asking ourselves every day. This day, Lord, I choose to jump because you have proven to be faithful. We just got through singing it. Where you go, I'll go. Who you love, I'll love. I'm going to follow you. Will you jump? Pray with me, please. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. Father, this is your church. It's not my church, it's not their church, it's your church. And we get to be a part of it. God, we thank you for all that you have been doing in and through this church for generation to generation. You have been good. But Father, you have a new pond for us to explore. So Father, we ask that you would give us the courage and the humility and the wisdom to hear your voice and respond by jumping, to follow you all the days of our lives. And may we be content with nothing less. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand for the benediction? From the third chapter of Ephesians, we read, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Go in peace and serve the Lord in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."